Hello and welcome to the Nationwide Discussion with me, Gabriel Shadar, on Radio Miraya. And the debate over the implementation of the peace agreement in South Sudan continues. And time is running out for the partners to reach a logical conclusion, that is, the national elections by the end of 2026. Key briefings have been given at the Security Council in the past few days, including a report from the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, known as RJMEC. And today with me in the studio is the RJMEC Chief of Staff, Ambassador Berhanu Kibede. Welcome once again, Ambassador, to Radio Miraya's Nationwide Program.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, as peace monitors of the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement, how would you describe the current state of its implementation?
The current stage of implementation can be best explained by the political and security environment, prevailing political and security environment in South Sudan. Since March, practically the implementation of the agreement is halted. And we have seen political and security violations of political and security nature. For example, if you look at the political angle, we have seen that one of the major party, the SPLM-IO leadership, including political and military leadership, has been sidelined. They are not part of the implementation of the agreement. And it includes the first vice president, who is the head of the governance cluster, the most important cluster. We have seen the detention of senior officials, senior ministers, and generally we can say that some are detained, some are running away, some are hiding, and some have been dismissed from the portfolio, the government post they occupy. And this is a violation because, as you know, this kind of dismissal or replacement has to be undertaken through a process of consultation. And this consultation has not happened. This is a unilateral decision. On the security side, we have seen violation of the permanent security arrangement and the COHA, the cessation of hostilities agreement. So this is since the signing of the 2018 agreement, we have never witnessed such kind of a situation, political and security situation. So, as you might have followed the activities of RJMEC, the rest of actors like the region and the international community are trying their best to prevail on the parties to reconcile through a political, constructive and inclusive political dialogue and return to the full implementation of the agreement.
These events happened, and we can say some of us could have seen them coming, the way there was loggerhead over the deployment of forces here and there. Maybe it was not in that big scale, and this kind of serious violations happening. Yet we have seen the African Union, a Peace and Security Council visiting. The RJMEC warned that the current situation risks a relapse into full-scale conflict. You called for concerted efforts of all stakeholders to chart a path back to lasting peace. So for RJMEC, what kind of concerted effort from stakeholders do you believe is urgently needed?
Even before the Nasser incident, we were warning the parties, the region and the international community that there is a need for a political dialogue to resolve this issue. An issue which has started as administrative on the rotation of forces has been escalated to a conflict by what has happened in Nasser, the unfortunate incident in Nasser. Following that incident, we have engaged the parties on both sides, and we have engaged the ambassadors, resident ambassadors here, the IGAD ambassadors and the AU ambassadors, and ambassadors of international partners and friends of South Sudan. And even we have written a letter to His Excellency the President, in his wisdom, to do something to de-escalate the situation. And following this effort of Arjamek and others who work very closely with us, like the AU mission in Juba, the UNMIS, and the IGAD office, we approached the IGAD executive secretary and the special envoy to bring this issue to the attention of the leaders, the Council of Ministers and the Head of States. And then there was IGAD Heads of States Summit, and in their decision, they appealed to the parties to trigger a political process, a political dialogue, and deployed a delegation composed of three countries, and some IGAD member countries even bilaterally deployed a delegation here, like Ethiopia, Kenya, and Uganda. And then there was also a visit of special envoys from the international partners. Unfortunately, all these efforts have not produced result up to now. And the AU chairperson, the new AU chairperson, accompanied by the deputy executive secretary of IGAD, he was here. He has the opportunity to talk to His Excellency, to the president. Unfortunately, they were not given the chance to meet His Excellency, First Vice President Machar. So you can see for yourself that a lot of effort has gone to return the parties to the full implementation of the agreement.
Ambassador, you have given a lot of detail about what is happening. And in the last quarterly report by Arjamek, called also for what you have been saying now, renewed political dialogue. Is there still hope that this dialogue can happen?
We should be optimistic. You know, this is an agreement of South Sudanese. It is negotiated between South and among South Sudanese. In their wisdom, they have decided in September 2018 to agree on this agreement. And this agreement is transformative and a comprehensive agreement, which goes from political agendas to social agendas to legal issues, and it covers a wide spectrum of subjects. And it served as a blueprint to transform South Sudan into a democratic society and to give the country sustainable peace. And we have witnessed this. Since 2018, this country has enjoyed relative peace and stability. We have seen a progress in some areas, even in the economic and social areas, though it is not to the full implementation, but there was implementation of the agreement, though at slow pace. So now the parties have to come to their sense. It is better for the people of South Sudan, for the sake of the people of South Sudan, and for the sake of this beautiful country, to go back to political dialogue and resolve this issue. This is a very simple issue. Of course, in politics, you might not call everything simple, but when it comes to the liberation movement that the country has gone and the political process the country has gone through, it is very easy to have a political solution.
The efforts to engage by the interim chair to engage in conducting shuttle diplomacy with the region, regional partners and guarantors. And when we speak about guarantors, it is the Sudan and Uganda mainly who are key guarantors in this. And they seem to be silent, these key guarantors. What is happening with this shuttle diplomacy? Is it continuing or it has also stopped somewhere?
The chair has been going around and talking to the leaders of the IGAD member countries, to the leadership of IGAD member countries. He has been in Uganda. He has been in Kenya. He has been in Djibouti. In Djibouti, he has the privilege and honor to meet His Excellency, the President of Djibouti, who happens to be the current chair of IGAD. And he has given them detailed information, and he has called on the IGAD member countries to do their utmost to prevail on the parties and convince them to return to the full implementation of the agreement and to pursue the course of political dialogue. Force, you know, using the force or use of force is not a solution. The solution is a political dialogue. They have a political document. It's an agreement, it's a political document. The only thing that they have to do is to follow and to heed the spirit and letter of this agreement.
Yes, and for the listeners of Radio Mirai, let me say this is a nationwide discussion hour, and we are having the Chief of Staff of the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, Ambassador Berhanno Kebede, and we will continue after this short interlude. You're listening to Radio Miraya.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
And yes, we are back with this interview and discussion with Ambassador Berhanno Kebede, the RGMAC Chief of Staff, who is with me in the studio. And we stopped there that the engagement with the stakeholders and especially the guarantors has been continuing, and there is hope. RGMAC has not met quite for a time. When can we expect the RGMAC plenary sessions to resume amid this situation?
For the sake of the audience, I would like to give you an explanation on the structure of RGMAC. RGMAC has got 43 members. RGMAC is not the secretariat. The only thing that we have is the chairman. The chairman is an institutional representation of the RGMAC. So the chair has been doing everything he can in terms of encouraging, urging the parties to return to the political dialogue and the full implementation of the agreement and the release of those detained, especially his first vice president and so on. But the 43 members, as you know, hails from different stakeholders, from the region, from the international community, from the continent, from the academia, from eminent personalities, civil society, women and youth. So you have to have the consensus through a consultation process on how to convene this agreement under this circumstance. We have been consulting with them. Some are saying that in the absence of the major political party, how can you have a plenary meeting? And some also, even within the stakeholders, they are saying that first there should be a political dialogue so that there is an inclusive JMEC plenary meeting. But soon we should have an extraordinary meeting, and we'll inform you when we are going to have. Mm-hmm. But I want you to understand the circumstances.
Yeah, it completely makes sense that if the partners are not eager to meet, and most of them are on the run or are under some duress, they cannot just come and have the quorum even for the meeting, and even the politically charged atmosphere is quite challenging. Yes, can we ask you a question whether you agree with the critics and analysts that the peace agreement is really heading to nowhere at the moment? I don't want to say they use the word dead or in coma.
Well, the agreement is not dead. If the agreement is dead, the coalition government does not exist because this is a government created by the agreement. So the agreement is alive and kicking, but it's wounded. Mm. So it's wounded, and it needs a rapid process of convalescence.
Does the issue now just circles around the release of first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar?
Well, every delegation that came to South Sudan and every big meeting, international regional meetings, have unanimously requested for the immediate and unconditional release of the first vice president. I'm sure you have followed yesterday the Security Council meeting. That was the governing pronouncement in that meeting. Political dialogue and conditional release of the first vice president. Observe the permanent security arrangement. These are the three questions, the three issues that have been prominently figured in that meeting. So there is a lot of appeal from the region, international community, and from every corner of the world. And I hope the leadership of this country will agree to release the first vice president and go towards the implementation. It is an agreement of the parties. It's better to heed to the provisions of the agreement, to the letter and the spirit of the agreement, for the country to transit in peace towards an elected government, and to realize the program that is stipulated to have election by December 2026.
The ambassador, if Arjemek is like bringing all these 42 parties together, and has there been any kind of what I can say objective assessment that the peace agreement is failing here, it's not going here, and it's succeeding here, and then the same parties agree, what is the way forward, so that we could have avoided all this?
We have conducted a series of consultations before and after the March incident, and everybody is saying that we have to stick to the agreement. Even the government, the IG, is also saying that we have to stick to the agreement. There is no any difference as far as the importance of the implementation of the agreement. The problem is how to do it. To do this, to focus on the implementation of the agreement, there should be a political discourse. That political discourse is not happening.
That means neither of the parties is coming forward with proposals that this is how I want it to be done, or people are silent?
No, there are. For example, on the government side, they have an IO splinter group, and they say that with them we can implement the agreement. But on the IO side, they say that this is a very minority, and they give you in figures, and which seems to be true. The majority of IO are outside the current framework, and they want their leader to be released, and their senior officials to be released, and the senior military leaders to be released, so that there is an inclusive implementation of the agreement. So these are the two positions. One is the government saying that I have the IO with me, the splinter group led by Stephen Park, and then the majority are saying that he does not represent. So there is a difference in terms of...
And is it challenging for Arjemek, these kind of positions at the moment?
Yes, it's challenging because we have to heed to the provisions of the agreement. The agreement recognizes the first vice president as a party, as a signatory. His name is indicated, stipulated in the agreement. So it will be very difficult to violate that and say that we accept that. It's not up to Arjemek to decide this. The parties have to sit down and decide whether to change a leader, whether to unite. Even they can say that one day we will unite all of us together and become SPLM. That's not up to us to decide. We don't micromanage parties.
Yeah. Ambassador Berhanu Kebede, a question about the feasibility of election to be credible and fair by December 2026 amid this standoff?
Well, the election is scheduled to take place in December 2026. And as you can see yourself, the constitution making process was scheduled to take 2 years. Now we are almost 15 months or 14 months away from the election date. Now, if the parties sit down together and discuss on how to expedite the process, there is a possibility of fast-tracking the process. The problem is the parties are not talking. We are not saying that it should take strictly 2 months. It's up to the parties. They can sit down, for example, finish the unification of forces within 3 or 4 months, the constitutional making within 9 months, and then be ready by September 2026, ready for election. There is a possibility. But we are not the one who should dictate this. We stick to the letter and the spirit of the agreement. But the parties are the owners of this agreement, and they can decide to fast-track the process. There should be consensus. It's provided in the agreement. Article 8.4 has given the parties to amend, to change track a little bit in order to suit the country's reality, South Sudanese reality.
Yeah, so you don't support any unilateral action towards election in this sense.
Yeah.
Coming back to RGMEC, your mechanisms and organs like Citizen VM, SSD, SDRS, and MJMTC, how are they dealing with this situation? Are they functioning normally?
They are also affected by this current political and security situation, because one major party is not there. As you know, the JDP, the JTSCC, the JMCC, they are formed by the parties. For example, these are in the security area. The three parties that have forces are represented. So the JDP, for example, has representative from SAWA, a representative from IG, has a representative from IO. So one of the major parties is missing. So we cannot call it an inclusive. If it was inclusive as before, they can resolve a lot of issues. They can expedite the training process. Even they can prevent the incident that has happened in Nasser.
Yep. And the National Transitional Committee announced phase two of security arrangements with training planned for September. How feasible is this given the divisions at the moment and what we are all seeing?
You know, we have to be realistic. The forces of Iowa, I don't know how they are going to assemble them. Do you think that when the leaders is under detention, these forces will come into the training center or assembly site? It will be very difficult. So that's why we say political dialogue, political dialogue. In the absence of this, it might be very difficult to have a unification of forces as stipulated in the agreement. They might have integration, but even the integration might not be inclusive. So I think they have to discuss among themselves. People are coming and expressing their doubts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are open to everybody. We listen to the government, we listen to the opposition parties. They have doubts. Then the current structure does not represent the IO.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be very difficult for them to accept. On the government side, with the new splinter group of IO, there is NTC which can serve the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to push. The public has to push. The civil society has to push for a political dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
We need a political dialogue, a political solution.
Yep. Ambassador Berhanu Kebede, it's a pleasure having you here, although the issues are grave, but you have spoken well. You have expressed most of the issues that are outstanding in the implementation of the peace process. I would like to give chance to some of the listeners who would like to comment, and they might have a remark to say about what you have been telling us on this program. And for those who would like to call, give us a call on 091206-7879 and 091206-7929. And the SMS line is 091217-7141. If you have an SMS, you can send us that SMS, and we will be having you or on engaging with the Chief of Staff of the RGMEC. Let us open the lines now for the listeners who want to engage. And I already see the line is busy. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling and from where?
Yeah, this is Forda from Juba.
Forda from Juba. Welcome.
Yes. Yeah, welcome. The ambassador, he talked really at length. He mentioned all the area, we understand it. Only my question to him, the GMEC, how do they weigh he was saying the IOWA is split, minority has split. How do they win? The current IO who have split as they are the party for peace monitor, because the majority of the IO, they are under the vice president, and the minority is under the minister, the former minister. How do they talk to those people to accept the implementation or the force to release the vice president if they are for the IO, the vice president? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The caller from Juba. Let me have another caller. Hello.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Tango Juliet.
Tango Juliet, calling from where?
Currently in Juba.
Welcome.
Okay, I have two questions to the guests. Now, looking at the current context, it looks like whenever we have a high-level delegation visit or high-profile, either from region or from international community, coming into the country, immediately on their way back, even before they landed, the same issue that they advise the government not to do, the government of South Sudan do those things. So how do they feel as part of bodies that are trying to help the South Sudan out of this crisis? That's one thing. Number two, as GEMEX has been issuing a lot of documents advising the government, advising the oppositions, but they are not listening. So can RGMX admit that they have failed as an institution mandated by the R-Access to monitor, or the work is just only to monitor, so which means they are toothless, they don't have teeth to bite? Thank you.
Thank you, the Tango Juliet, for your call there. Another caller here. Hello.
Yes, Radu Mraya.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Joseph Macholchan. We are connecting with Joseph Macholchan from Majangbai.
Where is Majangbai?
Majangbai is Will North.
Oh, Will North. Welcome.
Yeah. Gobi Joseph Chidar. Yeah, I want to ask a guest in the studio. Yeah, all the time that we have been talking about the peace and reconciliation, but in South Sudan, the peace was not implementing. I don't know now what are the mechanisms that have been using in order to implement the peace. Now in some borders, now we have been seeing there is a fighting. Now maybe some of people, innocent people, are being assailed by the guns, in which there is no peace now in the South Sudan. Now what are the mechanisms I've been using or steps I've been using in order to implement peace and reconciliation?
Thanks for your question there. That is the third caller we had. And this is Peter Gatkoth from Bentiu IDP camp. We are always listening for peace in the country and deaths of people. How do the leaders listen to the messages of peace? So that is a comment from him. It seems like he's saying nobody's listening. That is the message from the one of the listeners. Yes, Ambassador, welcome back to react or respond to some of the questions. Yes.
Regarding the first question, you know, our guide is the agreement. The agreement clearly stipulates who are the parties, and we stick to that. And the first vice president is duly recognized by the agreement as a leader of the party, of one of the major party. That's why we and others, the region and the international community, are appealing for the release of His Excellency the first vice president, and also the senior officials, military and civil officials. So we're not taking side. We are sticking to the letter and the spirit of the agreement. We are interpreting the agreement. This is the mandate that we are given. it's not a matter of supporting the splinter group or the first vice president, but the first vice president is duly recognized, or his party is duly recognized as a major party to the Arakras. So we are interpreting the agreement. I think the gentleman who raised this issue should understand that Arjemek is interpreting and giving status report on the implementation of the agreement. And this is our mandate. Mm-hmm. And we report monthly and quarterly to the IGAD, head of states, to the AU Peace and Security Council, to the AU chairman, to the UN Secretary General, and to the Peace of the Security Council of the UN. So these are the bodies that have the clout, the tools to buy, not us.
Yeah.
Now we report.
Yeah. I understand that, and some others might say, in the case, people seem to be like hinting for an intervention or something like that to make things work. And one argument is that the situation in a country like South Sudan can pose a security risk to the neighbors and the region. Are we hinting to that?
You know, external intervention is not a good solution. The good solution is the South Sudan is to find a solution for themselves. When you have an external element, things can go the wrong way. And this is my personal opinion, that South Sudanese, it's their own country. They have an agreement which they have signed. They have to find a solution themselves. They should not wait for an external intervention. External intervention comes with an attachment, with conditions. So I think they have to avoid.
So are you telling them that don't make the region and the world go to that option?
I don't advise. It's better for the South Sudanese to sit down and dialogue. Mm. This is what I would say.
Yes. And of course, as we are coming, as we have, can we take one caller here, or you have another response there?
They don't.
You know,
they said all these delegations are coming and talking. And the conditions of engagement is determined by the government. And he's trying to say that the visit or the engagement, the bilateral discussions have no result. But, you know, we should continue to push, to convince, to engage politically. I don't consider them to be useless. He said reconciliation, what mechanisms and steps are taken. The steps I have already explained. All this, the shuttle diplomacy of our chair and the visit of delegations from the region and from the international community are to push for reconciliation and political dialogue. And this should continue. Do the leaders listen? I hope they're listening and they're responding. But are they responding enough? We want them to respond enough.
Yeah. And as we conclude, give you the chance to tell us the three things, three critical steps that can put the peace process back on track.
The first thing is the political dialogue, which I have already mentioned repeatedly. The second is observe the permanent security arrangement as stipulated in Chapter 2. Then go for the constitutional making process. Second, go for the unification of forces and do the best you can on the election process. Support the institutions that are created to facilitate election, the Constitutional Making Review Commission, the National Election, and the Political Party Council to function, to be operational. They are underfunded. Fund them so that they can deliver on the election process. If the parties can do this, can have election by December 2026, provided that. But the governing issue is political dialogue.
Last question is the options available for the bigger bodies like the UN and Security Council.
As you may recall in yesterday's statement, our chair has underlined the importance of the Security Council to remain engaged with South Sudan. As you know, the Security Council has 15 members, 5 permanent and 10 non-permanent members. They should come as Security Council, the supreme organ for international peace and security. to come and engage the South Sudanese leadership, to advise them, to prevail on them to return to the implementation of the agreement. And the region has to continue also this engagement.
Really, thank you very much, Ambassador Berhanu Kebede, the RGMEC Chief of Staff, for being with us. We asked you a lot of questions today, and still we are anticipating that the situation might get back. We keep hopeful that some reason might prevail and then things would go back to track. Because you could see on the streets, people are frustrated. There is a lot of disappointment about what is happening. Thank you very much for being with us.
You are welcome. I agree with you. This is what we should do. People are frustrated, and people have to be given the comfort by returning into the full implementation of the agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that is the end of today's Nationwide Discussion Hour with Ambassador Berhanu Kebede, the RGMEC Chief of Staff, has been with me on this program. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for the listeners who asked their questions and the one who sent us an SMS. That is all for today. Bye-bye.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.